Jesus has changed my whole life. Oh, if anybody asks you just who I am, oh, tell them I am redeemed.
One more time.
Change my
Praise the Lord. What does it mean to you to be redeemed this morning? It means more than you've got in your pocket, I'll tell you that. It means more than you've got in your bank account, I'll tell you that. To be redeemed is the greatest thing that could ever happen to a soul. To be bought back. Aren't you glad to be in church this morning? How many of you enjoyed service here last night? You appreciate the word of the Lord? Wasn't it wonderful? About 14 of you enjoyed it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Why don't you turn around and shake somebody's hand? Get the cobwebs loose this morning. We're going to have church here. Play it, boys, if you will. God bless you, sir. Appreciate you. Yes, sir. God bless you. Love you, Brother Curtis. Brother John, God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you. Guys, appreciate you. Appreciate you. I want you to sing with all your heart. Oh, yes, I am redeemed. I've been bought with a price. Oh, Jesus has changed my Amen. God bless you. Let's look at our prayer requests. We don't have that many. I'll ask you just to stand with me this morning. I want to remember Sister Judy Davis in prayer this morning in a lot of pain. So we certainly want to pray for her. Pray for Brother Junior Davis also. We think he was prayed for here last night. Let's just continue to remember him in prayer. Continue to remember Brother Bill Yance in prayer. The Lord is certainly bringing our brother along. We just want to keep praying and keep believing with him that all will work out to his good. Please remember Sister Mary Lewis. She's still not able to go to church or to be out in public, so we certainly want to remember her in prayer. Brother Bobby Hayden says to please pray for our son, James. He needs a healing touch from the Lord, so let's remember that need as we pray today. I want to pray for a lady who has lupus. God knows all about the situation, so we'll just commit that unto the Lord. Jerry and Brenda Thompson sends this in to please pray for our son, Jeff Thompson, as he makes his travels from the Middle East back home. Thank you. And may God bless. So we just commit that to the Lord this morning. I want to pray for Sister Phyllis Phillips. She has been taken to the hospital this morning with chest pain. So we certainly want to pray for her that the Lord would just be mindful of Sister Phyllis. I know that's a concern of that family, so let's pray on her behalf this morning. One welcome to the service today, Brother Tom and Sister Sharon Sproles. Also, Brother Jason Sproles from Brother Ray Erickson's Assembly in Bluffton, Ohio. Where would you folks be? Would you just raise your hand right here? Give them a nice hand this morning. God bless you. Amen. We're certainly glad to have you. All other visitors, if you're visiting with us today, may God bless you as you make up this group today. May you just receive a real blessing from the Lord. All those that are streaming the service, may God bless that situation and those folks from around the world that get a great blessing out of watching these services. Brother Wade, why don't you come this morning and lead us to the Lord. Let's invite His presence into this service and ask Him to have His perfect divine will in all these situations today. God bless you, Brother Wade.
Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning, Lord Jesus. We just thank You for the opportunity, Father, that we have to come into Your house, Lord God, to worship You with brothers and sisters of like precious faith, Lord God. We just thank You, Father, for everything that You're doing for us and everything that You will do, Father. And Father, we just pray now that You'll take command of the service. Father, we invite Your presence in here, Lord Jesus. Father, if anybody needs a healing touch, Lord God, we know that Your arm is not too short, Lord God, to reach down and touch each and every one, Father God. A financial blessing, Lord God. Whatever the people have need of, Lord God, we know that Your arm is not too short, Father. You can touch them and reach them, Father. We pray for Sister Judy Davis, Lord God, and Brother Junior, Father. We see if You brought him a long way, Lord God. We know that cancer, Lord God, if You said, Your prophet said, we don't fear it, Lord God, You will bring it to pass, Lord God. And we thank You, Lord God, that You put Brother Junior on the highway, Lord God. We just give You all the glory and honor, Father, to see him come into service, Lord Jesus. Father, continue to pray for him. We pray for Brother Bill, Lord God. Father, You brought him a long way, Lord Jesus. Father, we just ask You to touch his voice, Lord God, that he can come back again and preach, Lord God. We know that he's a servant of the Lord, Lord Jesus, and we want to honor all our pastors and preachers around the world, Lord Jesus. Father, we give You the glory and honor for everything that's said and done in this service. And we ask it in the precious name of Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Wade. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated while we sing this morning. I believe He's coming back like He said. You believe that with all your heart? Amen. Let's sing about it this morning. I believe He's coming back like He said. I believe the trumpet's gonna sound so loud, it'll resurrect our dead. It's going.
yes, I do.
And we'll soon see His appearing.
Well, now this
could be the hour.
Yes, it could.
Oh, this could be the day.
Hallelujah.
When the bride from every nation starts to lose gravitation.
Thank you, Lord.
Coming back like He said, get up in Jesus' name. Let's sing a little bit of that song. I want to have you to stand with me while we sing this morning. Get up in Jesus' name. Get up in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Get up, get up. Get up in Jesus' name. The Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved. Don't go down defeated. While victory's here to claim, get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. The Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved. Don't go down to be dead.
John and Peter passed him, saw his need was bad. They had no gold and silver, but they gave him what they had.
Well, get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. The Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved. Don't go down defeated.
Seems discouraged and overcome with fear.
Oh, but God is wanting soldiers to get out of those pews
and take a hold of the power
that John and Peter knew.
Well, get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name.
The Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved. Don't go down to be
get up in Jesus' name. We ain't got time to lay around. We ain't got time to be lazy. We got to be doing something for the Lord. How many of you believe He's given you the greatest message that's ever been on the face of the earth? I believe it with all my heart. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. We have a baby dedication this morning, so we're going to be very timely in our preliminaries and give the service to Brother Donnie for the baby dedication and the preaching of the Word of the Lord. And as we told you last night, Brother Fred Green is going to be leaving us. I think he's going to Richmond, Virginia to live. And he told me last night, he said, thank you for putting up with me. I said, well, actually, we've tolerated each other. And we've learned to get along together as a body. We've all had to do that. Because there's things I hate about you. And I know there's things you hate about me. But we love each other. And we get along with each other. And we're serving the Lord together as we walk in this Christian way. Is that right? God bless you this morning. Brother Fred's going to come and give us a song. Brother Fred, we appreciate you. Give him a nice hand. If you ain't got time to say nothing, just sing.
Yes, sir.
Oh, how well I remember in the old-fashioned days when some old-fashioned people had some old-fashioned ways in the old-fashioned meetings as they tarried there in the old-fashioned manner how God answered their prayers. 'Twas an old-fashioned meeting in an old-fashioned place where some old-fashioned people had some old-fashioned grace. As an old-fashioned sinner, I began to pray, and the Lord heard and saved me in the old-fashioned way. They're singing such singing of those old-fashioned airs. There's power, such power in those old-fashioned prayers. An old-fashioned conviction made the sinner pray, and the Lord heard and saved him in the old-fashioned way. 'Twas an old-fashioned meeting in an old-fashioned place where some old-fashioned people had some old-fashioned grace. As an old-fashioned sinner, I began to pray, and the Lord heard and saved me in the old-fashioned way. Oh, they say it's far better. Things have changed, don't you know? And the people in general seem to think it is so. And they call me old-fashioned when I dare to say that I like it a whole lot better in the old-fashioned way. 'Twas an old-fashioned meeting in an old-fashioned place where some old-fashioned people had some old-fashioned grace. As an old-fashioned sinner, I began to pray, and the Lord heard and saved me in the old-fashioned way. If the Lord never changes, like these old fashions of men, if He's always the same, why He's old-fashioned then. As an old-fashioned sinner, I got saved through old-time grace. Oh, I'm sure He's gonna take me to an old-fashioned place. 'Cause an old-fashioned meeting in an old-fashioned place where some old-fashioned people had some old-fashioned grace. As an old-fashioned sinner, I began to pray, and the Lord heard and saved me in an old-fashioned way. Oh, the Lord sent William Branham in this 20th century day, and this message was revealed to me in the old-fashioned way. Oh, he lived the life before us and showed us the way that will lead us straight to Jesus in the glory. Old-fashioned grace, as an old-fashioned sinner, I began to pray, and the Lord heard and saved me in the old-fashioned way. Sing that chorus. It was an old-fashioned meeting.
Lord, give him a nice hand this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. Be sure to shake hands with Brother Fred Green if you get a chance after service. And we're going to miss him, but may God bless him as he journeys on. Let's sing a little chorus this morning as our pastor gets ready to come and bring us the word of the Lord. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Do you know that this morning? Are you glad about it? Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him this morning. Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify. Let this life within me cry that I know my Redeemer lives. Oh yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Sing with all your heart. I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify. Let this life within me cry that I know.
Seated. Brother Larry and Sister Crystal here want to dedicate their baby to the Lord today. If they'll bring it, we'll offer it to the Lord.
Bring them in from the fields of sin.
Is blinding it. I know, darling, it's hard, ain't it? I have the lights all the time. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, Lord, what a miracle the gift of life truly is. Of all the things that we have, truly life is the greatest. Lord Jesus, my brother, my sister, bring this gift of love and gift of life to offer it back into your presence again today. Lord, we know it's such a responsibility, it always has been, to raise children, but never quite like in this day. Millions and millions of them are never given the opportunity to even live, never play with a doll, never throw a ball, because of the society that we live in. Their parent or parents choose to terminate them. But how grateful we are, Lord, that there's still people in the world who accept the responsibility of bringing children into the earth, and then that responsibility to raise them in the fear of God. And we know their chances of turning out right are so much greater once they're brought up in the ways of God. I pray, Lord, that you would help my sister. One more little sheep has been added to her fold as being the fifth gospel. I pray for my brother that you'd help him, Lord, that Christ can be able to reflect through his life. Lord Jesus, may you keep your hand upon her, Lord. Keep her from the evils of the day. Time should tarry that she'd get old enough to be able to know right from wrong. May her heart be tender. Keep her, I pray, Father. We dedicate her life to you today. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Stand together if you would. First John chapter 3 verse 9. I'm as happy to be in the house of God.
Amen.
I'm as happy to be the house of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Let's read down through verses 16, if you wouldn't mind standing with me that long. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. And commit is to make it his trade or his business or his course of life. So whosoever is born of God, sin is no longer his business. Sin isn't his trade. His trade now is a Christian. Isn't that wonderful? For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message. Now we use these terms a lot, the message, but I wonder how much about the message we really know. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. What in the world would he go into this direction in verse 12? Not as Cain. Now verse 11 says, this is the message which we've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him, because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. So we put Cain in the middle of these verses about loving our brother. Mama, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we believe Brother Branham. Because we go to church. Because the sisters have long hair. Because we love the brethren. Now notice, this is not guessing. You think, and perhaps and possibly, and you know, 50-50 chance, 75, you know. No, we know. Now you want to know if you've got the Holy Ghost or not? This right here, my brother, according to the scripture, is the way you can tell. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Makes no difference how much he quotes, what he preaches, how much he shouts, runs, jumps, screams, hollers, speaks in tongues. Doesn't matter at all. And whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I want you to notice what book this is, what chapter, and what verse. 1 John 3:16. Now John 3:16 tells us, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. You're familiar with the verse. Now this is after this body, this mystical body, has received the same life. Now watch how he merges the two together. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, which is John 3:16. But this is the completion of John 3:16, 1 John 3:16. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. This is John 3:16 made manifest in a body, which is 1 John 3:16. Let me read to you from the quote that we read last night, Water from the Rock. Can you imagine all the waters in the world packed into a standpipe about this big around? I'm not sure how big it was, but it couldn't have been no bigger than however he measured. But let's just say it was this big. It would go thousands and thousands of miles through the air. And how the pressure of that water coming down, pressing down, trying to find one little crevice to get out of. That's the way the love of God and the healing power is trying to pour in this meeting tonight. Trying its best everywhere. God trying to make his way into our hearts with all that pressure of divine love and will and everything. Trying to press his way into the people. I want to speak to you on that thought again today. Pressure of divine love. Let's bow our heads together if you would. Lord Jesus, how we thank you today for your awesome character. The way which you have chosen to deal with us, Lord God. We thank you, Father, that we have the privilege that we could assemble today and under the auspices of the revealed word of this hour. Not under the intelligence of a man or a group or a board of directors that would choose what we should hear today. We didn't receive in the mail today's sermon hatched out by some theologian. But we believe we're fixing to feed on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Delivered through a channel, through an anointed channel by the Holy Ghost. So I pray that you'd make each of us receivers today, Father. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. To be honest with you, this is more than my mind can be able to comprehend. This example that Brother Branham uses to show us the pressure that the elect live under and the essence of God's character trying to get this type of love and degree of love to his children, that there would be such a pressure at the bottom of that pipe. I've studied a little bit about pressure and a little bit about weight. Those of you who know, you know that a gallon of water weighs 7.48 pounds. And so you can imagine if you had 100 gallons or 1,000 gallons or 10,000 gallons of water, And then the way that they get our water pressure, whenever you think of all the building that goes on continuously around a large city, and you think, how do they keep the pressure going up? When you have new houses that are constantly added to the supply line, why doesn't it fall out? Why doesn't it totally bottom out? Well, they have figured out ways by which to carry the water in order to keep the pressure sustainable. And the pressure must be higher, of course, on the main line than what it is into your house. That's why you will have a reducer, which will reduce the line pressure from what it is from the main line coming into your house. If not, it would blow your fixtures plumb out of the bathroom or the kitchen. And then you think in a supernatural way that God has all of this pressure of divine love. And here we are in this earth, and as I mentioned last night, we feel so much pressure. We feel the pressure of the age, the pressure of our economy, the pressure of sickness and disease and trouble, and so much pressure. But I wonder if a lot of the pressure that we feel is not also the pressure of this divine love, but we just simply don't recognize it as being a pressure. We so think of all the other pressures that are around us, and we think that's much of what we are feeling. And I'm afraid we're misidentifying much of the pressure that we feel every day of our lives. And I know we don't like pressure, but yet we need pressure. We have to have it. We function more properly under the right amount of pressure. Don't worry. God will never let more pressure be put upon you than what you're able to bear. He has a Holy Ghost pop-off valve that'll be right there to help you. So whenever we think of us being under this type of divine pressure, that God, now I flew over the Atlantic Ocean many times, and the Pacific Ocean, I flew over the different seas and the oceans, and you would be hours and hours and hours in a 747 going 636 miles an hour up to 674 or whatever it would be, and you fly for hours at a time. The third longest flight in the world, I've been on that to Johannesburg many different times, 19 and a half hours. And whenever you leave, it's just in a few hours, you're constantly over the waters. And the waters are miles deep. And can you imagine just one ocean being put into a pipe? It would be thousands of miles high. If you notice, Brother Bram didn't place that pipe in a way that would lay across the earth this way. But he stood that pipe standing up. So in doing that, it would create more water. You know why we have water towers? In that they would be able to pump the water up into a water tower. Once it's retained in that tower, whenever you turn on your faucet because of the place where it's at, it will also help build the pressure coming back up on the other side. So God was able to project His divine love down from heaven and then take it back up into a divine water tower. So whenever it would come back down, it would put the elect under more pressure to be able to attain to that position in Christ Jesus. He didn't leave the abundant supply down on the earth in a horizontal tube or a horizontal pipe, but He raised it up and set it at His own right hand. And here we sit today under that pressure, that power of God's love. And we say, oh my, it's just the pressure all around me. I'm about to go crazy. I'm about to go crazy. Oh God, take away all this pressure. Let me tell you, there's no need for you to even pray that way. You need that element of pressure to be the type of person that you are. We even need the element of divine pressure that will operate and make us function to be what God intends for us to be in our lives. But whenever we think of God pressing Himself, as we looked at it last night, that God truly, in order to work out this great plan, that we were totally unlovable in our nature, in our unregenerate position, we were unlovable, which means we did not have the capability of projecting or creating characteristics which are favorable of receiving love. So we were unlovable. We were not attractive to God. By nature, we were not attractive to God by behavior, by character, by speech, by the way we were. And yet He was the very author of divine love. And He was a lover. So here we were unlovable. He was totally lovable with this expanse of great love. How is He ever going to get this and this together? So you've got
two complete opposites. You've got two that are as contrasting as they can be, even farther apart than the North and the South Pole. So God created a go-between. God created the missing link. God created the ability by which the lovable and the unlovable could be connected together, and that was in the form of sonship, which was called the Son of God. God, in doing this, would be able to project all that heaven's heart held, all the mystery of divine love, which the Torah could never reveal, the law, the justice of God being the prophets, thou shalt not and thou shalt, that could never reveal the mystery of what was in God's heart about the way he felt of humanity. But God could only reveal that in his Son. In the Son would become the epitome of the Father's great love. Now God truly is a lover. In that, God not only wants to love to forgive, but he wants to love more intimately to bring his people into a spot that they are not just a forgiven people. They are not just a people that have been accepted as a lesser category of beings under this new creation. But they have been so raised and so elevated by the love of God that their thinking becomes that they are no longer unfit, unworthy, undeserving of such love. But he so changes their soul, their character, and their thinking to where they recognize themselves in Christ Jesus as being worthy of love, deserving of a rapture, deserving of heaven, not on their own now, but deserving because he says they are deserving. Amen. Now most of us still need to arrive to that spot, because some of you would nearly choke your tongue and you'd nearly choke to death for to ever get it out of your mouth that by the grace of God, I am deserving of heaven. I am deserving of every blessing Father wants to give me. Most of you are still under the concept, I'm not worthy, I'm not deserving, I'm still a dog under the table. But as I told you last night, if you got the Holy Ghost, you need to get out from under that table, pull your chair down, and sit down as a son or daughter of God. Do you believe that? Now, let's read a couple of these quotes that we read last night, because I got a lot to look at today. God making his promise. God is a lover. God is love. God so loved the world when they were unlovable that he gave his Son to make them lovable. Now notice, God has the miraculous power within himself to change human beings which are not lovable, which do not have the ability to project to God a divine attraction. Now coming to church will not do it. Even listening to the message will not do it. Reading your Bible, quitting smoking. I'm going to quit this and quit this and quit this. And I'm going to lay aside all my drinking. And when I get better, I'll give my heart to God. You're still unlovable until the Spirit of God can do that work of creation in your heart. You could quit drinking, you could quit smoking, you could quit saying bad words, you could quit doing lots and lots of things, and you're still lost. It's not what you quit that makes you attractable to God. It's what you receive that makes you in his attraction. Now notice he says God wants to come down and make love to you. He's seeking, thirsting, hungering, trying to get the sum of your starchy hearts to make love to you as a love affair. Not a law, but a love. It's all in love. God so loved. Now notice in the same message, he says, I want to accept him right now. Be gentle and meek all my life. That the Holy Spirit would talk to me in the cool of the evening. Ain't that when he come down to Adam? When I lay down on my pillow at night and I raise up my hands to him and say, Dear Heavenly Father, I so love you. And to hear his kind, tender voice talking back to me and say, Child, I'm so in love with you. Amen. I don't just love you. I am so in love with you. Lord Jesus, I'm glad that you accepted me. Can you imagine God saying that? You made God glad? You did. You made God rejoice. You made God be able to rejoice when you accept. Friend, when are we ever going to understand? It's the way He chose to do it. He so wound His program into us that we can bring Him an element of joy and satisfaction that angels cannot do. I'm glad you accepted me. I wanted to love you so much when you were unlovable, but you wouldn't let me love you. But now you made it right, and I can love you. And we can be friends. Lord Jesus. And we can be friends together. Now watch, God goes over in the heart of Adam, this rib right out from under his heart, and he takes the rib and makes the wife. The very part of Adam's spirit was in the woman. Now notice this, he goes in Adam's spirit and he brings us out, makes the woman, they two are one. Soul, body, spirit, they are one. They are perfect oneness, a real woman and a real husband, a real wife. They are one together. What is that a type of? Christ. Christ. Christ, for out of his bosom, not a byproduct, not a Methodist or a Baptist or a Pentecostal hatchet, no sir, but out of his own heart. The bride did not just come out of the blood. She did not just come out of the water of his body, but she was released from the heart of Christ. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Out of his own heart, he took the sweetheart that's as pure and loyal as she can be. She's as loyal as a lily. My. Look back, Solomon speaking, come my love, let us walk in the pomegranates and let us take our fill of love. When the real believer opens his arms with a pure heart and holds up to Christ that affection of that lover of Christ and goes into his bosom as his wife, just like the husband does to a real wife. Glory, hallelujah. We're not only engaged, but we're married. The church is married to Christ. We are the wife of Christ, bringing forth children. How would you like to come home of a night for your devotion to your wife? Devotion. Devotion? Isn't that what you do to God? Like when you pray and read your Bible? Devotion? So a man has devotion to his wife. Wonder when we get ours from Jesus. Friends, we're so warped. We think he's the only one that wants devotion. God is not just a receiver. God is a lover. He doesn't just hunger to be loved. He hungers to love. I've known him in my life in some very close ways. But I wonder, Brother Jim, how much I've robbed him of even closer avenues. Because, not because that he doesn't want to, but because my perception of who I am and what I think of how he relates to me prohibits his ability from ministering to me in even a deeper degree than what he himself desires. Now watch how Brother Adam takes the comparison of this. He said, we're the wife of Christ bringing forth children. How would you like to come home of a night for your devotion to your wife? And she's got a bunch of little children. And you find that day when you come in, her nails may be as painted. That is, if you're of the world. She might look ever so pretty, you know, but think of it, brother. If that woman's been kissing other men. If those arms that's around you telling you she loves you and you know that she's loved others too. Her love is not true. Her love, again he says it is not true. It don't belong to you. It belongs to others also. Can't you see how Christians are? They come to church on Sunday morning or Wednesday, whenever it is they come, and they go through the ritual. Lord, I love you. Lord, I worship you. Lord, I praise you. But then all of the rest. lusts of the weak. They love fashions. They love money. They love this, that, and the other. And they are sharing their arms. They are sharing their eyes. They are sharing their devotion. And they're sharing everything they are with other lovers. Oh my. If there's any man about you, you'd scoot her off your lap. Think of what a feeling that would be. Think of it, lady. If your husband come home, not only that, but packing diseases of immoral acts. I want you to listen to this. Brother Branham talks some very plain talk. Oh, bless your heart. The church is eat up with spiritual venereal. Now, we'll not get too plain, but you understand enough about that to know where that comes from. Now, you think the church, I didn't say men and women naturally in that sense, but the church is eat up with it. Why would it be? Because she has lovers that are eat up with it. And then she wants to bring that to Christ. Well, glory. Now watch what he identifies as spiritual venereal. All kinds of isms and everything else. It's wrong. God be merciful. Jesus is coming, friends. I want to be a real true Christian. I want to be a real lover. That when I go to my Lord and kneel on my knees, I want to, oh listen to this, I want him to embrace me in his arms and say, oh, my lover. I wonder how many, even around this message, that Jesus can call a lover. Now he might call them a message person, or he might call them a Christian, or even a believer. But he'll never touch you if you've got spiritual venereal. Now you might be a Christian and have spiritual venereal. And he would say, you know, how are you today? Glad to have you, sort of. If you don't mind sitting over there, keep away from the rest of us. You know, how are you today? Nice to see you. Nice to see you. But you'll never be his lover. You'll never be that one that'll get down on your knees and him say, oh, my lover. But he'll deal with you according to your profession and where you live. He will deal with you as a Christian. He will deal with you as a message person. But he will never take you into his arms, because it's impossible for our Lord to ever take a person like this that's eat up and make them his lover. Well, y'all are getting quiet. I'm not sure if you're embarrassed or if y'all never heard these things before. Y'all are totally in the dark, I suppose. You have no idea what I'm talking about. Well, if y'all don't understand, ask your kids when you get home. They'll explain it to you. Now watch. He says, again, the second coming of the Lord. Do you remember Solomon, how he spoke of it? He said, come, my love, let us walk through the pomegranates. Let us walk through the garden of spices. And he said, her lips look like rosebuds and so forth. I loved his little wife and said, come, let us take our fill of love. When you get down to your altar to pray, is your heart so true and your soul so unadulterated that you say, Lord God, let us take our love. And you say, yes, my lover, I love you. Or have you been committing fornication? Have you been flirting with the world? Praise the Lord. You see, Jesus can never take a bob-haired woman in his arms and call her a lover. He can never take a woman in his arms that wears mascara and all kinds of things. A man who does this and that and other, totally impossible. Because they are flirting with the world. They've got one hand out here on the world. They love the world, so the world is their lover. And they want Jesus to be their lover. And he will never love in this degree the person in that way. Will he love them as a Christian, as a believer? But yes, keep a distance between him and them. He will not become contaminated by our diseases. Woo, praise the Lord. Now watch, because God is a lover, when God's personality was personified in Jesus, then this gave the embodiment of a lover on the earth. This is why Jesus must have seemed so contrary to the Yahweh of the Old Testament. Now when they would bring up, the Pharisees bring up a woman caught in an act of adultery and different people in kind of situation, they was expecting the Yahweh of the Torah to act in judgment if he really was that Yahweh. But they had missed the dispensational change to where the Torah was now being fulfilled. The law was now being completed, and now it was not another book that was opening up. It was a heart that was opening up, which was the heart of God. So when they would bring the different ones of Jesus and try to catch him in his words and look for him to respond in this way and that way, they totally misunderstood him. Because here they were seeing an avenue that seemed to love whores. He seemed to love vile, wretched people. He went to the tax collector's house and ate dinner with him. It'd be like you'd been invited to sit down with the IRS. You know the mess they're in right now. But Jesus went to the downtrodden, to the downcast, to those that the Pharisees would never even shake their hand in the market. They would go home and roll up their sleeves and wash to their elbows even when they went to the market, just in case a whore had touched a piece of fruit. They would not even get anywhere close to where they were. They would go home and change clothes, because they didn't want none of that stuff on them. And here come Jesus, the prostitutes and the unconverted and the lost. That's where his reputation was made. So they looked at him and they could not understand. Why? Because they did not know God as a lover. Notice, time of decision. Over in the evening time, have you made your decision yet? He's talking about Rebecca now. Have you fully surrendered everything to Jesus Christ? Is he your king? Your savior? Your healer. He's the one. Your lover. Now do you understand that he can be your savior, he can be your healer, not your king, and not your lover. He'll move into your life as much as you'll let him. You want him to be savior? You'll allow him that? That's what he'll be. Oh, but children, why would you want to stop there? Notice why Christ speak, talking about the bride. She'll fly away, oh glory. Fly away in the morning. Oh my, I long to be there. I will be. Amen. I will be. Affirmation. I will be on that morning when she takes the wings of the morning and flies into the arms of her lover. Christ said, Mr. Oh, how a bride holds that promise. He told me he would return after me, and I believe it. Uh-huh. Yes, sir. To meet her headship, her redeemer, her husband, her king, her Lord, her lover, her savior. Notice all that he is to the bride. He's not all this to the foolish virgin. But he is to the bride. I want him to be all this to me. You understand? Now remember the pressure. The pressure that's coming from the heavenly realm down upon our beings to press into us this that God desires. Again, he says the royal seed predestinated to eternal life. The royal seed of Abraham. They believe that word. I don't care what comes or goes, how much they life, who says this or that or the other. They're ordained to eternal life. And she goes right straight back. Her and her lover, Christ, is one. The life, the spirit that's in Christ is in the church. And the church said, God's provided place in this great hour that we're living under, this great expectation of the appearing of our lover. The Lord Jesus. Now let's look in St. John 17, 23. Watch Jesus unfold now part of the mystery of the love of God, which had been kept secret since the foundation of the world. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me. So divine oneness, even with God and Christ, can only be revealed when the mystical body is pulled into that union. That the world may know that thou hast sent me. How? When perfect oneness is reflected from God in Christ into the church. That the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Do you believe God loves you in the same way and degree that he loves Jesus Christ? And you wonder why we need to hear these things preached. These are the words of our master. We are missing an element, friends. Because it's the way we are looking at ourselves. We're still looking at ourselves through this. God's love to us was prior to our love and preceded our love to him. True love in the heart of a believer can only be on one basis or one foundation. We love him because he first loved us. So if we love him because we don't want to go to hell, we love him because I was raised up in Happy Valley, we love him because of this and any other reason because he first loved us, our love is on the wrong foundation. Now what's then? Jesus says that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. So his love and regeneration and conversion actually precedes even before we was ever born on the earth. 1 John chapter 4 verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. Now once we receive this kind of love, it actually gives us a freedom to love properly. You see, without this, we will love under legalism or liberalism, as it's being brought so much today. And we think, well, we can do anything we want to do, live any way we want to live, and God don't really care. And people think that's love. That's not God's true love. God has always been a God of truth and reality. And God demands certain obedience to his word. Is that true? His word. So in doing that, we realize that the love of God and the love of man is so contrary. And the only way the elect can really love God in the right way is on the foundation of this. I love him because he first loved me. Will everybody love him on that basis? They will not. Will the foolish virgin love him on that basis? They cannot. Well, whosoever will, let him come. Will they love him on that basis? They cannot. This is only to those to whom it is given. Now let's look in St. John 13:34. The head of the new race starts giving the mandate, the logos, of the way this mystical kingdom will start to operate after the new birth. St. John 13:34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Now what's new about that? That's not new at all. But it's what follows it that makes it new. A new commandment. Now Leviticus 19:18 told us to love our neighbor as ourselves. But notice how that love was based. It was based on self-love. So I'm supposed to love Brother Charlie under the law as I love myself. So the foundation of me loving him is me loving me. Right? Love your neighbor as yourself. So this is the foundation of love. I love you under the law as I love myself. But Jesus says that will not work in this new kingdom. Now I'm going to give you a new commandment. Don't love your neighbor as you love yourself, but love him more than you love yourself. Lord have mercy. The time I get done, there won't be a peep. Now watch this. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So now the ushering in of this new commandment, this is the basis or the foundation. I'm giving you a new commandment, and it is a commandment of love. It will sound very similar to what Moses gave you in the law initially. But I want you to love one another, not as you love yourself, but as I have loved you. How is it a new commandment? Jesus answers his own question, of course. As I have loved you. So he is going to show us now the foundation of this love. This is why only the ecclesia, the elect of God, will have the ability to love in this way. This is why this is the real evidence if you're born of God. You will love your enemies. If need be, you would lay down your life for one of your brothers. Now, what if I was facing the penitentiary this morning for preaching the gospel? They had all the evidence against me. Service after service after service, I blasted all kinds of things. And the police come in today before the service is over. They're going to take me straight to the penitentiary. How many of you brothers would love me enough that you would go in my place? You'd be willing to leave your wife and children, your home, your job. No hands went up yet. Always nice to know you're loved. I know. Most of you wouldn't need to pray about it. I never do anything in a hurry, Brother Donnie. I always pray over it. How long is your sentence? 32 years? Let me get back with you in about 30. Now, there might be some that would do that for me. But would you do it for the brother here in the church that you and him, ever since you moved here, have constantly rubbed heads? You wouldn't even need to pray about it. Of course, you'd probably go to the scripture and say, the Bible says a man that don't provide for his own house is worse than an infidel. And if I went to the prison, I couldn't make a living for the rest of my family. So I need to do what the word says. You see, what Jesus does is makes it so impossible for anyone to be able to do this. Satan can shout with the best of us. He can outpreach any preacher you ever heard. Speak in tongues, dance, run, jump. But he can't love. So the Lord Jesus makes this a badge of identification to the new mystical body. Praise the Lord. Now, do people, human beings, do they love one another? Certainly they do. Do church people love one another? They do. Do many of them love God? They do. But this is a deeper intensity of love, a degree of love that only can become a part of you once it has been foreplanned and deposited in your being by God himself. This is why John said the seed of God remaineth in him, therefore he cannot sin. So the part of you that's born of God does not sin. Since your flesh ain't, you know the rest of the story. Now, look at this. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. So the disciples of the Lord Jesus, they will be known not only by their doctrine, not only by the way they dress, not only because they act peculiar and they have signs and wonders and miracles. Now, Jesus could have said all of that here if he'd wanted to. But he knew every one of those things could be impersonated to the T. to the place that real children of God could sit under a false preacher and sit there for years and years before they'd ever recognize it. Because the signs were real, they got healed in his ministry, they got delivered in his ministry, and they say, he's got to be a man of God. Well, praise the Lord. Now watch, Jesus says that you love one another as I have loved you. So, let us look and see now. If we want to identify and know what this love is, how did he love them? Then we'll have a good idea of how we're supposed to love one another. He says that you'll love one another as I have loved you, right? So his gifts were wonderful. His miraculous power is wonderful. But yet he never said that was the way here that people would be identified as real disciples. His exploits of love were supernatural and miraculous. Wonderful. Yes, sir. Never been seeing anything quite like it before. But it wasn't that that Jesus said that would be the identification or the badge of a believer. It would be the way you loved. So how did Jesus love his disciples? And that'll give me an idea, a pattern, a chart, a graph by which I'll be able to look at my love and compare to that and see where I am. Amen. Hopefully you'll do the same thing. The motives of his love were not derived from selfishness. The basis of his love toward them was not based upon what he would get out of loving them. So it was not, I'll scratch your back and you scratch mine. I'll do this for you because you'll do this and this and this for me. And then if I do this for you and you stop doing this and this and this for me, then I will love you less. Actually, Jesus expressed more love to the disciples when they deserved it least. Here we go. Now you see, unlike us, had Peter done me the way he done Jesus, I'd have a hard time ever trusting him again. Don't sit there and look at me like you're some kind of self-righteous angel. If Peter would have done you, Brother Buzz, or you, Brother Jim, the way he done Jesus, could you honestly ever put your full confidence in him again? Now notice, he loved them in their weakness, not only in their strength. Now remember, as I have loved you, this is the way you will love others. So he loved his brothers in their weakness. He loved them whenever they doubted him. Thomas doubted him to such a degree that he said, I will not believe unless I touch his nails and prints in his hand and thrust my hand into his side. And Jesus loved him so much. He said, Thomas, come. This is what you need to believe me. Would we have done that? Or after we would have done it, we would have never treated him the same. I think I figured out the reason, friends, why we're no farther along in the message than what we are. This right here. It's why preachers ain't no farther along than they are either. Oh, I've had dealt with many, many preachers, and I'll tell you, there's very few I've ever dealt with that if you ever cross them, you ever have a difference of opinion, that's it. They'll write you off right there. I've been wrote off by many. Preach up a storm and ain't got enough of the love of God in their heart to be able to disagree with you and feel the same towards you in the heart. You know why? Preachers have to grow in this just like everybody else. It ain't going to be our preaching now. It ain't going to be our great signs. If we don't have this, this is our badge of identification. Now once Jesus says, as I have loved you, then you will love one another. So he loved them in their weakness, in their errors, in their backslidings. He loved Peter when Peter denied him and cursed.
Can we do the same?
Now, the old example was love thy neighbor as thyself. But the new commandment is love as I have loved you. So when they run you down, when they talk about you, when they say hurtful things to you, love them the more. When they deserve it, the less. And when you've got a right to turn your back on them, don't forfeit your right.
We've moved into the deepest preaching you've ever heard in your life. You can't get no deeper than this, friend. This is you. This is me. Oh, I know it ain't great theology and y'all are not spellbound. Oh, it's so deep. No, y'all ain't there, but you know within your heart, you know it's right where you are. It's right where I am. Now notice, this is not the words of some man. This is not a pastor that get up and said, I thought. And remember, the teaching of Brother Branham cannot go contrary to this. You know what Satan has done? Satan has taken statements that Brother Branham made. Satan took them. Statements that Brother Branham made and try to make people think you don't need love in this message. Statements that Brother Branham would make about the Pharisees, and the Pharisees had more love than Jesus, and the Pharisees had more fruit of the Spirit. The Pharisees never had this love. They couldn't have it. They had what was thought, Brother Dan, was to be love. There was never a Pharisee that could ever have this kind of love. The devil cannot impersonate this. And try to take statements like that to override these commands of our Lord as if though we don't need it. This is not the requirement of a secretary. This is the man who made the plan. Lord Jesus. So love one another as I've loved you. And how did you love them, Jesus? I love them more than I love myself. That don't mean that you go along with everything that a person does. Now listen to me. Don't misunderstand me. You can love a person and not like them. You can love a person. You'd be willing to do anything in the world to help them. But you just don't like this about them and that about them and that about them. But many of us think in order to love a person, we got to like everything about them. That's a lie. There is no scripture that teaches any such thing. I imagine there's lots of things about Peter that Jesus didn't like. But he loved him more than he loved himself. So therefore, if we don't like people, we just cut them off. Oh no, that's not the way it is. We love them, whether or not we like their ways. Do you understand? This is what caused many marriage problems. That a man and woman can fall in love, but they don't realize it till 5 years later, they don't like one another. He steps out of his clothes and leaves them right there. She didn't know that. He didn't realize whenever he was dating her that the house was all clean and polished and everything. He didn't realize that was only a fake. That really wasn't the way she kept the house. Ooh, preach, Brother Donnie. Oh, he come to Sunday dinner and he thought, man, this was so good. And she helped me make that and she helped me make that. But the mother didn't tell her. All she done was tore open the batter and put it down inside the thing. He was thinking all the time she could cook like Betty Crocker. So he found out this about her and she found out this about him. And the longer they live together, the more they dislike one another. But yet they love one another, but they don't like each other's ways. Do you understand the love of God can look at us and love us with an eternal essence and he despises much of our ways? Amen. That ought to help somebody. As a matter of fact, several somebodies. Now love is not perfect till it appears in action. Love in word is logos. But love in action is rhema. Love in deed, in personification, is when love reaches its full ultimatum. Now,
Can we go on for just a bit? Watch. Jesus tells them that they will love them as he has loved them. So seed, the love can be in seed in the principle of what it will mature in fruit-wise. But it can be in a person's heart in seed form, in word form, in scripture form, in quote form. Oh yes, perfect love, perfect love, perfect love. We need more love, we need more love. But that's all seed form. But God wants that seed to be absolutely changed by the power of an endless life that lives in the heart of a believer, to where that seed actually bursts open and gives birth to the attributes of the contents in that seed. Then that seed starts coming out of the individual. Now Jesus did not love just in word, but Jesus loved indeed. So Jesus used his hands in expressing love and his mouth in expressing love. So what was that? The fruit of the seed of love which was in his heart and soul. Now God doesn't want us just to be people, oh I believe the word, I believe the word, I love, I love, I love that seed only. But God wants us to be that in fruit. And the church said,
amen.
Now watch this, in St. John 13:35. Jesus, again, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. You mean to tell me that this is an identification from the Lord Jesus himself? This is the way people will know. It's not just your dress. It's not just, you know, I go to Happy Valley. I've got, a bumper sticker on my car, wear an eagle belt buckle. That's not what Jesus said. This shall all men know that you're my disciples if you love one another. If this could be so easily attained by everybody, why don't everybody do it? Amen. Oh, is that so simple? Anybody can do it. I beg your pardon. Nobody can do it by themselves. There is only one small, elite category of people who can fulfill the scripture I just read you. It's not in us, humans, to love consistently and constantly, especially those who agitate us. And we get one issue settled with them, and when we get that one settled, no longer than we get it settled, and they have already started another one.
Amen.
Every family has at least one of those, sometimes more, which is a miracle how they even live, while others didn't kill them, I don't know. Every church has at least 100, one. According to the size of the church, God will allow, proportionally, according to how many members you got, there'll be one per so many capita of people. Woo! Lord have mercy. But you know what? They're needful. They're needful. Because they bring out things in us that back patterns don't. Oh, Brother Donnie, I love you so much. You're such a good pastor. Thank you. Thank you. You preach so good. Thank you. Oh, I love you. You preach. Thank you. Now, for one per 50 or one per 100 or one per 5, you know, just depending on the cycle that the church is in, there'll be those others that'll send me the email. Why did you say this? Why did you say that? I don't like the way you're... How come you... Or send me a letter unsigned. No return address. And they dropped it when they was visiting Aunt Lucy over in North Carolina. So it wouldn't be postmarked Johnson City. Let me be honest with you. Donnie can't love constantly. Donnie cannot love consistently. But my seed can. Donnie wants to love those who deserve it. Don't sit there and look at me and flop your wings. Y'all are the same way. You want to be nice to those who are nice to you. But Jesus would do good for someone who would absolutely hate them. Brother King was out in Arizona a few years ago, and he come back to me and said, Brother Donnie, I run into people out there in them message churches. that would absolutely kill you if they felt they could get by with it. I believe I would lay my life down for one of my sheep. But that's not really the measurement of love. The measurement of love would be that individual out in Arizona that told someone some time ago, if Brother Joseph Branham told me, I would knock off Brother Donnie Reagan and get rid of him. Because I know how to do it. The love of God would not want to die for one of you, but to find that man and die for him. Come on, friends. Brother David's going to preach Wednesday night. You can shout with him. Hold off another service, then you can shout. Let's hear something that'll get us ready for shouting. What do you say? Oh, my. By this shall men know you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So a badge, a token, an identification of discipleship. We know that armies, the army of China, of the United States, of Britain, each one of them have their own uniform, their own color, even the branches of the military, whether it's a National Guard or Air Force or whoever. They have their own insignia, their own things that identifies them of where they belong. Certain schools require that the students, the boys, must dress in this collar and the girls in this. And when you see them, you know they go to the St. Mary's Church or school or wherever it is. It is an identification. And Jesus said, I'm going to give you all an identification that everybody will know who you belong to. And it's very simple. But it's very profound, very pronounced, very profound, and impossible to reproduce. Since it's not only the opening of the Word, it is the opening of my heart. They were to be distinguished by constant, tender attachment to one another. You say, what's that got to do with being a Christian? Because he so wrapped love for him in with love for his children, they cannot be severed. So a person can say all day long, I love God, but I hate you and I hate you and I hate. They're a liar. The love of God is inseparable from God and his people. You hear me, church? It is totally impossible for us to love God with all of our heart and hate our brother. Can I go on? Does that mean the rest of you want to go? The Pharisees had a certain size phylactery on their head, which was a piece of a little thing rolled up, a little scroll that they would roll inside right here on the forehead. They had a certain collar on the robe. As soon as you saw, you knew this was a Pharisee. But the Sadducees had a different size phylactery. And they wore a different color of riband on the bottom of their robe. So as soon as you saw them, you knew who they were. Glory. Jesus of Nazareth chose love. It's an identification that people would look at you. Even the pagans took note of the Christians and said, how they love one another. Not just how they love God, but how they loved one another. This is our coat of arms. You say you're moving pretty far out. I know it. Any of y'all going with me? Watch, Brother Branham. Let's produce here tonight a members of the church like in the beginning who had brotherly love one for another, laid down their lives for one another. Men and women who love one another, such divine love, till they go to the penitentiary. You thought I made that up a while ago, didn't you? Go to the penitentiary or to the gallows for each other. That's the original church. Don't raise your hands. But do we have the right degree of love today, friends? Could we do it? Could we go to the gallows, Brother Phil, for a brother? Not one that you totally like. Not one that's in total agreement with you. But maybe one who sinned against you, like Peter did, Jesus. Run you down, gossiped on you, spread rumors and lies. And yet you heard that brother's about to be shot in the morning. Well, would we turn the tables on him? He's getting exactly what he deserves. He touched God's anointed. He spoke against me. I'm sure glad Jesus didn't take that attitude. Oh, my, men and women who love one another, such divine love, till they go to the penitentiary or the gallows for each other. That's the original church. This is God's test of discipleship. Of being so immersed into such a degree of mature love that we love beyond human explanation. We love beyond to where that our minds doesn't even comprehend how we could even do it. We question ourselves, how can I do this? Am I out of my mind? Yes, you are. And you're having an out-of-body experience. But go ahead and have them, because for long you're fixing to take your body with you. Your soul has been so immersed into that realm of eternal love that you can love beyond human understanding. You seek no revenge. You don't seek to get even. But you seek for mercy and grace. An unmerited favor to that one who has offended you. Amen. Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 3 verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life. I love the contrast of these two words. Because the Greek words that John uses, and remember the language that was spoke during this time to the common people, was Aramaic. But the language that God chose to have the New Testament written in was actually the Greek language. But John uses the terms as he says, we know that we have passed from death unto life. And this is actually two separate kingdoms or two separate countries. So you moved or you were transported from one country into another country. So we know that we have passed from death unto life. And this is the way we know for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt. Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Chapter 4 verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Why? On the same basis. Loving God and loving his family is one and the same. It's inseparable. Do you understand? It is inseparable to love God and hate your brother. It is Canaanite. It is the way of Cain to love God and hate your brother. Cain loved God. Cain worshiped God. He adored God. But he hated his brother. I wonder how many Cains are around this message. You won't say amen to it, but the potential lays in every one of you to be a Cain and an Abel. A Jacob and an Esau. The twins in this revival. We keep looking out here for the twin. You might ought to look in the mirror. And you'll find your twin. Let's bring her on down home, friends. There is a twin. I have got a twin. My seed has a twin. And it lives in me. It is a twin that believes the message, that wants to do the message to a certain degree, but will make excuse. It will explain why I can't do this and why I can't do that. That is my twin. My nature, my divine nature has a twin. My seed's twin will love God, but try to find an excuse to hate my brother. Whew. That's another subject altogether, ain't it? Notice, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. And his love is perfected in us. 1 John 2:9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Verse 11, he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. So these are people that are talking about the light of the day. First John 3:15, whoso hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. 4:20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Let's stand together. St. John 15:9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Now watch, I've started this new cycle. Amen. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. So it came from the Father God down through the sonship, from the sonship to the body, and now the body is to love in the same way. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you, willing to endure trials, to show self-denial, and love those when they least deserve it. Whew. Verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this. Now remember, this is the author of love. He should know how to measure it. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now let me close with this. This is the greatest thing you possess. Which would be greatest today? Your life or $5 million? 10 million. Let's make it 500 million. Let's make it a trillion. If you had $1 trillion in the bank and someone would want either your life or the trillion,
which will be the most worthy to you. You can give nothing any greater than your life. So Jesus says, this is the badge of discipleship. But Brother Donnie, God won't ask me to die, more than likely not. God more than likely will never ask me to give my life so that Brother Jim Babb could live. But he may ask me over and over again, would I be willing to do it? You see, God proved a great pivotal point in Abraham's life when he tells him to go offer his son Isaac as a burnt offering. God knew all along that he wasn't going to require Abraham to do that. But Abraham didn't know it. God knew he wanted to prove one point to Abraham, that Abraham could see it for himself. It was a typing over Jesus as well. But he wanted Abraham to be willing right up to the very instant, only seconds away. The knife is drawn back. Little Isaac's eyes are closed. His body shaking and quivering. Abraham's hand shaking and quivering. The point had been proven. He was willing to do it. God wouldn't any of you sisters to give your life so that another sister could live and complete her dream as a mother. Would God want any of you young people to be willing to lay down your life for another young person? Would God ask one of my granddaughters to give their lives for another one of the young people here in our church so that they could live? And they would forfeit their life, their young years, all their life before them. Would God ask them to do that? More than likely not. But God might ask them, if I ask you to, would you do it? That's what I want to be able to say. Yes, Lord. If the Lord asks me today, Donnie, Brother Tim Pruitt don't know it, but by this time tomorrow he'll be in jail. But they'll take you in his stead. Would you be willing to do it? Would you give up your church, your wife, your children, your grandchildren? Would you give up your ministry and forfeit yours so that his could live? Don't talk to me about how deep you are. And whenever we display in our depths arrogance and pride, and we think we're so deep and we know so much, we're a million miles from this. We're a million miles from this if that's what we project with our so-called depth. Depth is not a badge of a disciple. Not according to Jesus. I've never found where Jesus even used the word. But the badge was love. Can you love your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife when they're least deserving it? When they're least worthy of it? Oh, our heart just pours out to those that we love when they do something for us. Or, oh my, we're just so moved emotionally. Oh, I love you so much. Oh, and that's generally after they've done something for you. But can we do that when they've hurt our feelings? That's really when they deserve it, that expression of love more. Amen. That was a seed for them, amen. But y'all are going to get it out in fruit. I know you are. God wouldn't have this preached today if somebody couldn't do it. How many's going to be one of them? I will be. As Brother Benham says, by God's grace, I will be. Brother Tommy, I will be. I feel the pressure. Don't you see why you feel the way you do in the service like this? When these things are preached? Don't you understand, Brother Jim, why we feel this way? It's the pressure. It's the pressure above us, the pressure to become this. This is why we feel. We don't feel like shouting. If y'all shouting and running everywhere, I think, there's something wrong with y'all. I don't want you shouting this morning. It ain't the right type. It ain't the right type of service to shout. It ain't. It's a pressure service. And we're down under the bottom of it. And it's like it's... I'm going to be the size of a pancake.
when he gets done with it. Oh, oh, how you doing, Brother Donnie? Flat. How you doing? But I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there. Hallelujah. I'm going to get there. Let's pray together. No higher expression of love could be given. Greater love hath no man than this, that he will lay down his life for his friends. Lord Jesus, I pray, help us today, Father. Lord God, I want to live like you. I want to be a preacher of deliverance. I want to have signs following me, because that's part of it. I want to have supernatural in my ministry, because that's part of being a preacher, a God-called man. But Lord, I want to love. I want to love. Forgive us, Lord. We've so emphasized this and that and the other. I've said many times over the years, people always laugh when I do, but it's even more clear to me after this weekend, that many people's problem is their love life. Not in the natural sense, but in the spiritual sense. We can see it today. Many of our problems is our love life. We don't love you deep enough to the right degree. Help us, Lord. It's something for us to think about, honestly, to consider it. But I'll be willing to give my life, if need be, for Brother Tim tomorrow. Would I be willing to give my life for a preacher in the message who has called my names and ridiculed me and made fun of me and listens to my sermons and laughs and called me all kinds of names? Could I? Me and Brother Tim's buddies. Been friends for many, many years. But could I do it for that guy who ridicules me, talks about me? Now move it down, Lord, beyond me, down to the lay people. Could they do it? Help us to see this is the true badge of our discipleship. The identification. For your prophet said, Satan can not love. He was baptized in water when Judas was baptized. He got so close in this day that he could move under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The prophet said Elvis Presley had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But still he can't love. Not like this. Help us, Lord Jesus. How many of you today would raise your hand to God and say, Lord, I want to be what I've heard today. I want to be what I've heard. Amen. Grant it, Lord Jesus. From the front to the back to the nurseries, to the brothers upstairs in the booth, to those that are streaming the service. Help us to be real honest, Lord, and see if we cannot love consistently, constantly, habitually, by nature, not by tutoring ourselves and making ourselves do it, but doing it because of a divine life. For those who taunt us and those who aggravate us. And as I said, we get one thing settled with them and then something else comes up and then something else and something else. Help us to look at ourselves and during that type of trial and see where we are. May we put your life over on the chart, as it were, and then see how we tally up. You loved your apostles when they least deserved it. They deserved whippings. They deserved, as we would think, to be cast out, to be replaced. But that wasn't the way you loved them. You loved them in the time of weakness and the time of error. You loved Peter, even though he lied. And lied against you to save his own skin.
He denied your friendship. He denied that he knew you. Lord God, help us. I need help today, Lord. I need to move up, Lord Jesus. I'm not one bit ashamed to say it before these people. I need to grow deeper in the love of God. Help me, Lord Jesus, today. Help these sheep. They're yours, Lord. But you've given me temporary care over them. Help me, Lord, as a shepherd in the eastern times would bring his sheep into a fenced area for the night, either by stone or by briars or bushes. And he would lay in the opening, and that shepherd was the door. He would lay there all night long unless a problem would arise among the sheep. He was the door to the sheepfold. The next morning, the sheep couldn't get out until he got up and he would lead them in the direction that would be the most beneficial for them. Help me to be that kind of shepherd, because we know most of the shepherds, the sheep did not belong to them, but they belonged to the master, but they were simply given to his charge. Help me, Lord, that I can lead these people in love. I'm not talking about the world's perception now of love, which means compromise on this and compromise on that. I'm talking about divine love. Help me, Lord. They'll never live any higher than their pastor. Help me, Lord, that I can lead them into green pastures. Help me, Lord, that I can lead them into places where we've never walked before. To experience the love of God in a degree that we've never had before in our lives. Help me, Jesus. Lead me that I can lead them. I'm an under shepherd under the great shepherd, the bishop of our souls. Lead me, Lord. Show me which field to go into, which mountain do I venture toward, which stream, Lord. Show me the dangers that would await the flock. Help me, Lord Jesus. Lead me by your divine life. That I can lead them, Lord. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Would you reach over and take another sheep by the hand? Would you offer a word of prayer for them? Pray for them that God will help them not to be discouraged. Pray for them that God will help them to reach up and turn that faucet, as it were, on at the bottom of that pipe. That God can pour in His divine love into their hearts today. I've been right with you, friends. I've sensed the pressure of this service today too. Oh, not demonic pressure. Not demons pressuring us. But the pressure of divine love. For I need to move up too. I need to move closer. It pressures my life. May it pressure us all together. In the right direction. Lord Jesus, we worship you, O great Adonai. Jehovah, Jehovah, Yeshua. We bless your name, Lord God. We bless your name, for you are worthy today, Lord Jesus. Oh, come, my love. Let us take our fill of love in the pomegranates. Come down to the garden of spices. I hear the turtle dove singing. We are waiting patiently for the breaking of the morning, Lord God. Here we are at the seventh night of the feast. The last day of the feast, which is the last verse of the last chapter of the Song of Solomon. Make haste, my beloved. Make haste. Come, my beloved. As the man and wife would become married, then they would have a festival for a week. And the man would come into his wife. Then he would go out and see his friends. 7 days this would go on. And the seventh night, the last voice we hear is the voice of the bride beckoning her bridegroom. Make haste, my beloved. Come as a hind or a young roe upon the mountains of spices. Come, my beloved, on the mountains of Bether. Enter into your garden, my love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Then voices beyond the curtain of time, and Brother Branham went there. The voice answered back and said, is this not what you preached was the Holy Ghost? Is this not what you preached was the Holy Ghost? Perfect love. Oh, Lord Jesus. Help us, I pray, Father. Oh, Lord, help us. Lord Jesus, we worship you tonight, Lord. Here we are in our secret chamber. The darkness of Laodicea is around us. The night has fallen. But yet we know there's just a few more hours that the dawn will break forth. Lord, we've just experienced last night and today what scientists call a supermoon. Normally the moon's 238,000 miles in her orbit from the Earth. But this weekend she moved to within 221,000 miles. So she appeared extra large. Extra large. And her bright light was so brilliant last night when Carol and I left. It was so beautiful. And I told Carol, I said, look at her, how beautiful she is. She was here in the absence of the sun. Hallelujah. She looks so brilliant. And yet we know she shines her brightest at nighttime. Help us, Lord Jesus, in the last night of the feast, that we will have the Spirit's voice, for the final voice to the final age will be the bride. Lord God, we worship you today, Jesus. Can we just raise our hands before we go? Now what we're going to do right now before we dismiss, we're going to have a little time of devotion to our husband. And we want to allow him that time back to us. We want to have that little time of devotion. Not as a church so much. But as hundreds of individuals that are standing here together. We want to do as the prophet has told us that we'd come into his presence and say, oh, my lover. Oh, my lover. Not just our Savior, not just our healer, not just our Redeemer, but our lover. And let him answer back, oh, my lover, I am in love with you. Hallelujah. Let's worship him now together. Sing something there. Now let's just forget about where we're going to eat lunch. Let's forget about for just a few moments what's on your plans for this beautiful day. Believe me, you're in the most wonderful, awesome, beautiful place right now in the courts of the King. Let's worship him just a little before we go. Let's just give him a few moments now without preaching, without my words. But your time of adoration.
Lord, that's the way it's got to be.
Oh. Jesus, sweet Jesus. Lord God, I pray over this prayer cross today. Lord, you see this need in this home, Lord. I'm asking you for a miracle, dear God.
Till there's no
Satan cannot hinder. Father, I pray these domestic things that are going on, Lord God, in the name of Jesus.
All those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now. From the start to the finish.
And the bride said,
more.
I need more.
I need more of you.
Sing it to him about you.
Jesus, I need more of you in me.
Everybody now, I need more.
More of your love, more of you.
Oh,
that's the way. Got to be,
sweet Jesus,
more of you.
Oh, till there's no room left in me. Yeah. All those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now. Listen at the way he views her. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which come from the washing, which is where we've been today. We've been down to the washing. Now this is after we've come up. We've come up from the washing of the water of the word. Yes. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of a pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like the Tower of David, builded for an armory, whereupon there hang 1,000 bucklers. All shields of mighty men. He goes on to say, I am coming to my garden, my sister, my spouse. I've gathered my myrrh with my spice. I've eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I've drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, oh friends. Drink, yea, drink abundantly. Oh, beloved. Praise God. The pressure of divine love. Can you allow Jesus to say those things about you today? Or do you repel them? Because still, in your human part, you deem yourself spiritually unattractive. You think spiritually, your teeth aren't even shorn. Spiritually, you look at yourself and you're so deeply flawed. That when you hear this description of you, you think, that can't be me. That can't be. It is the real you. But you're not looking at the real you. You're looking at this. Oh, hallelujah. Praise be to God. I am my beloved's and he is mine. His desire is toward me. I need him. But may I go a step farther and say, he needs me. I love him, but may I go a step farther and say, he loved me before I loved him. And I love him because he first loved me. Let's sing this little simple song that we learned in Sunday school. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. And why do you?
Because He first.
Once more before we go. Everybody now. Let's sing it now like we really mean it.
Oh, how I love you, Jesus. Sing it now, Lord. Oh, how
sing it as you go.
To me, He is so wonderful.
God bless you. Sing it Wednesday night.
To me, my Jesus is so wonderful.